This morning's meeting comes with a disclaimer. We're back to the Walking Through the Bible series, and we finished with when we were last going through the Bible. We did the prophets before the exile, and we've now going into looking at the Jews in exile and what it was like living in exile and the stories in the exile. So God's people had not been following God, and he said, it's time for you to leave the land I gave you to go into captivity and learn what it really is to love people and to be a blessing to the people that I want you to reveal me to. And there are lots of wonderful and fantastic stories and books in the Bible about what it was like for the Jews in exile. And I'm jumping slightly out of chronological order today to do the book of Esther. And the reason I'm doing the book of Esther today is because this week just gone, this Wednesday and Thursday, was Purim. And Purim is when the Jews have a festival, a two-day festival, to celebrate what happened in the book of Esther, to celebrate the story of Esther. And I thought, what better way to actually look at and experience the story of Esther than to celebrate a mini Purim ourselves and to have... Now, the reason why this meeting comes with a disclaimer is because Purim is the craziest festival in the Jewish calendar. It is quite bonkers. And if you have ever seen Jews walking around during Purim celebration, they will be wearing wacky things. They will be behaving in wacky ways. And it is a very joy-filled celebration, that they were saved from extermination. So we'll come back to that later. But I want to just say that we're going to start with a very joy-filled theme this morning. So we're going to have some songs of celebration and joy. And then I'm going to explain more how we are going to... dive into the book of Esther by having a little bit of a late mini Purim celebration. Now, there are four main characters in the story of Esther. And I need to let you know who the characters are before we start, because you're going to get an opportunity to dress up as them. There is Mordecai the Jew. Mordecai the Jew, he's a good guy. And then there is the heroine of the story, his pretty orphan cousin, who is adopted. Her name is Esther, and she is a wonderful part of the story. And then there is King Xerxes. He's not a very good guy. He's a bit of a party animal. And then there is the evil villain, whose name is Haman, or Haman, as the little girl on the video said. Now, as you saw in the video, dressing up is a big part of Purim. Dressing up is not mentioned in the story, so you might wonder, why do people dress up for Purim? Well, apparently the reason it started, there's a couple of reasons. One is because hiding your identity by dressing up symbolizes God working behind the scenes, unseen, in the story of Esther. So encouraged to dress up as another character. Also, they dress up because there was a beauty contest, which you'll find out about in the story later. So they have fashion shows to commemorate that beauty contest, and another reason to be dressing up. Okay, so kids dress up as the bad villain, Haman, or they dress up as Mordecai, or beautiful Queen Esther, or Princess Esther, or dress up as the king, but also any fancy dress, and especially heroes and villains, or even superheroes and supervillains, is all in the theme. So, what I'm going to do now is, I would like two volunteers. I would like one volunteer who's going to help me to dress up. One to dress up as the bad guy, Haman, and another volunteer to dress up as Queen Esther. And you're going to help everybody else. Okay, you might have noticed during the reading. You might have noticed during the reading there was somebody standing next to the reader who would encourage everybody and hold up signs. So I have got here some signs, and I need someone to dress up as Haman, and he's going to hold this up every time his name's mentioned to encourage you to all make a noise and boo and hiss and stamp and make lots of noise. And then I need someone dressed up as Esther to hold up Esther whenever her name is mentioned. Okay, do I have a volunteer for Haman? Yeah, fantastic. Could you come up here then? We have a dressing up box here with, that could be a king by the looks of it. Haman might, there will be other dressing up in a minute. Okay, so we don't want, okay, so we can hold, okay, so your job is, every time the name of Haman is mentioned, to show everyone, whip everyone into a frenzy, get them making noise. When Haman puts his name down, everyone has to shh and quiet again. So as soon as that poster goes down, everyone has to be silent for the story to carry on being read. I now need someone to be our wonderful heroine, the beautiful, the pretty, the incomparable Queen Esther. Okay, fantastic, let's go. Give Josh a hand for being a good sport. Again, when Queen Esther holds up her poster, when the name is read, I want you to either to cheer or wolf whistle. You can wolf whistle or cheer or generally make a joyous noise for Esther. Now, I have some things to help you. You will have noticed that the little girl said, did you hear? She said, look at all those people making noises with their graggers or groggers, she said. What is a gragger or a grogger? Well, a gragger or a grogger is something that makes a noise. And particularly, they graggers are these. And it's very traditional at Purim to give these to each other as gifts. And I have lots of noisemakers in this box. Here's a couple. I've got a couple I'm going to demonstrate here and take out so that only I have. But anybody who wants a noisemaker, please come and get a noisemaker. Okay, there's all kinds of good ones in there. Oh dear, that one doesn't work. I like this one better. Okay, so if anyone wants a noisemaker, come and get a noisemaker. Now, that doesn't mean if you've got a noisemaker, you can still stamp and shout as well. John, oh, you've got one! Yeah, would you like one for Louise and Isaac? Would you want to get one out of the box and take it for them? That's a great idea. Okay. Now. So we have Haman. We have Esther. We have things to make noises with. But also, there is the opportunity to get dressed up. And we have here, we have King Xerxes. We've got all kinds of wigs. So anybody that wants to come and get dressed up now can come and get dressed up. Now, before I read the story, I am also... I am going to have to get in character. Okay. I'm going to put my crown on to get in character. Okay. There we go. So anyone that wants to get dressed up or put a wig on of any kind, you can. There's some lovely little numbers. I think we need a King Xerxes here if anyone wants to be a King Xerxes. There's a beautiful Queen Esther wig there. We've got, have a look, see what you can find. There's all sorts in there. You can put robes on, anything you want, just to get into the spirit of things. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Now then, that is fantastic. Now, and I know we have as well, we have at the back, we have a hero, Harry Potter. We've got Colleen dressed as Harry Potter, and she's got. And what else? What else have you brought with you, Colleen? Oh, look at that! The Sorting Hat. We like so during Purim. Any stories about heroes and villains? are a wonderful theme for Purim Fancy Dress. So we've got some heroes and villains theme at the back there with Colleen. Wonderful. If you want to give us a twirl, Colleen, you can. We've got Hedwig the Owl there as well. That's fantastic. Oh, and we've got a little Harry Potter. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Now, before we get started, you may have noticed that the story, you may have noticed in the synagogue, the story was being read in Hebrew. And the full story, normally the full story of Esther is read in Hebrew, and it takes 2 days to do. And it's actually sung. They sing the story of Esther in Hebrew. I'm not rapping for you. I'm not singing for you. I've written my own shorter version of Esther to do with you this morning. But before we get started with reading the story, there is a curious fact about the book of Esther that you may not know. And the curious fact is this. God is not mentioned once. God is never mentioned in the story of Esther. And you might think, well, why is this book in the Bible then? Because surely the Bible is about God. And if God is not in the story of Esther, what is this book doing in the Bible? Well, let me let you in on a secret before we start. The brilliant author of the book of Esther is inviting people to read or listen to the story looking for God's hidden, miraculous activity. So when you look, there are signs of God everywhere throughout the whole story. The story is full of coincidences and ironic role reversals that show us that God is at work behind the scenes, protecting and rescuing his people so that his plan to bless the whole world will not be ruined. So, as I read through the story of Esther, I want you to pay attention and listen out and look for God's hidden activity as you listen to the story today and think, where's God working? What's God doing? Okay, so we're gonna go for it. And remember, as we saw in the video, got your noisemakers, you can boo, you can hiss, you can stamp your feet at the name of Haman. It appears 54 times in the original, not in mine. And cheer or wolf whistle or any encouraging for Queen Esther there. Are we ready for a story? Then I shall begin. Back in the days after the Jews had been captured and taken away from their own country, they lived in the land of Persia. The king of Persia, Xerxes, threw a massive party lasting 180 days. What a party animal. And he held this party to celebrate how great he was. On the last day of the feast, the silly king is totally drunk and demands that his wife, Queen Vashti, come to the party to dance and show off her beauty. She refuses, and the king is so mad he gets rid of Queen Vashti and decides to get a new queen. So Queen Vashti wouldn't come and dance. Do you blame her? No, I don't blame her. Her party animal of a king, of a husband, says, oh, come and dance for all my guests and show them how beautiful you are. No thanks. So he gets rid of her. He dumps her, throws her away. Well, and what happens? The king thinks, well, I'll hold a beauty contest to find a new queen to marry. And he forces all the pretty ladies in the land to come and take part in the beauty contest. Now, Esther. Say some good wolf whistles. was a very pretty, beautiful Jewish orphan who entered the beauty contest, and she wins. She becomes the new queen of Persia, but she doesn't tell anyone, even the king, that she is a Jew. Because the Persians didn't like the Jews very much, and her uncle Mordecai tells her to keep it a secret. Now, her uncle Mordecai, who adopted her and brought her up like a parent, wants to make sure she is okay. So he hangs around by the palace gates and happens to overhear two servants plotting to kill the king. So he goes and he tells Queen Esther, and Queen Esther tells the king and gives credit to Uncle Mordecai for saving the king's life. Now, the second most important man in the whole kingdom after the king was the Prime Minister, Haman. He was descended from the Canaanites, the old arch enemies of the Jews. Haman thought he was super important and made people bow down to him wherever he went, as if he was some kind of god. Well, Uncle Mordecai refuses to bow down to pompous Haman. You see, Jews only bow down to the one true God. Because of this, Haman totally hates Uncle Mordecai. I don't mean just a little bit. He really, really, really hates him. And when he finds out that he is a Jew, Haman decides to take revenge by having all of the Jews exterminated. He rolls a dice called, interestingly, a Pur, which is where the name Purim comes from. He rolls a dice to decide what day this awful deed is going to happen. Haman goes to see the king and tells him of his horrible plan. And the silly king agrees. And guess what he does? He throws a party. He just loves parties. Any excuse to throw a party. And he just throws another party. And he thinks, this is a great... Yes, yes, let's do it. I can throw another party to celebrate. Well, they throw a party to celebrate the evil plan. Oh, no. What is going to happen to our hero, Esther? And what's going to happen to Uncle Mordecai? And all of the Jewish people now? Esther and Mordecai hatch a plan to get the king to reverse his silly decree. So Uncle Mordecai goes to Esther and he says to her, why don't you just go to the king? You're the queen. Go to the king and tell him that you're a Jew so that he'll change his mind. Esther, she protests, don't you understand, Uncle? Oh, I've lost my place. Don't you understand, Uncle? If anyone goes into the king's presence without being summoned, the law says that they must be killed unless the king holds out his golden scepter. And what's more, the king hasn't even asked to see me for 30 days. Well, I can't just waltz in there and ask for anything I want, Uncle. I think she probably called him Uncle Morty. I can't just waltz in there and ask for anything I want, Uncle Morty. It won't work. I'll get killed. Well, Mordecai tells her that someone has to rescue them, and perhaps she became queen to be brave for this very moment and save her people. Esther bravely agrees and bravely says, I will do it, and if I perish, I perish. What a heroine. What a heroine. Esther is a true heroine. Braver than the bravest hero. The very next day, Esther bravely goes to the king, not knowing whether she will die. As she approaches, the king smiles and puts out his scepter. He's pleased to see her. Whew. What is your request, Queen Esther? You can have anything, up to half my kingdom. But the queen knows how much the king loves this guy, Haman. So instead of just telling him, she hatches a cunning plan. Well, he's much easier to persuade when he's having a party. So, she invites them both to a party, a banquet feast, the very next day. And she says, I'll tell you my request at the party. Well, after the feast, the king again asks Esther. Well, beautiful Queen Esther. What is your request? But brave Esther, she's cunning. She doesn't tell him. Instead, she invites the king and evil Haman to another party the next night. She knows her husband well. So she invites them to another party, another feast, another banquet. Well, the next day, she says, she will reveal her request then. By now, the king is getting super curious. And Haman is getting super proud. Because he is the only guest invited to these two special feasts with only the king and the queen. And he goes home to tell his friends and family how special he is because he is the only guest at the king and queen's special party. But on the way home to tell his friends and family how special he is, guess who he bumps into? Uncle Morty. Who refuses to bow down to him and ruins his special day. So Haman goes home in a bad mood. He is fuming. And he goes home to his friends and family. And they say to him, they persuade Haman to go to the king the next day to ask for permission to kill Uncle Mordecai. So that he doesn't get on his nerves anymore. Will Haman beat our brave and beautiful Queen Esther to it and get Uncle Mordy killed? Well, next, we should really, shouldn't we? We should have like theme music and come back next week to find out. Well, that night, the king cannot sleep. He's tossing, He's turning. He just can't sleep. And eventually, he asks for a bedtime story and a glass of warm milk to help him sleep. I added the bit about the warm milk. Now, because the king is so big-headed, he wants them to read him the record of his reign as a bedtime story, so that he can remind himself how great he is. That will help me think sleep, he thinks. I can hear of all the wonderful deeds that I have done, and then I will sleep like a baby. But his servants just so happen to open the book on the page telling the story of how Mordecai saved the king's life when the two servants were plotting to kill the king. The king had totally forgotten to reward him. So the next morning, he decides to put things right. Well, who should come walking in but Haman? And why is he there? To ask the king for permission to kill Mordecai. But before Haman can say anything, the king asks Haman, if I really want to reward someone who has pleased me, what should I do for them? Ooh, he's talking about me, thinks big-headed Haman. Well, O noble and knobbly-kneed king, you should give this totally random person your finest clothes to wear. Yes. And then he thinks a bit more. Ooh, I've got an idea. Yes. And give him your finest horse to ride. You know, that really fast black one with the racing stripes down the side. It's a bit like asking for the king's favourite sports car. Ooh, and then he thinks some more. I know. Oh, and he's getting carried away by now. You should have the most important person in the royal household run ahead of him on foot as he rides around, shouting to everyone to tell them how much the king loves him, and make everybody praise him and tell them how wonderful he is. Ooh, this is going to be a good day, thinks Haman. What a big-headed guy. And what a shock when the king turns round to him and says, great idea, Haman! Go and do everything you just suggested for my new friend, Mordecai. Oh dear. Well, Haman, he is fuming, but he has to do what the king says or he'll get killed. As soon as he's finished doing this, the servants arrive to whisk him away to Esther's second private party with the king. It's party time! Well, by now, the king is really curious. He's just itching to know what Esther, what her request is. So one more time, he asks her what she wants. Finally, Esther tells him, and she says, please, O king, if you love me, all I want is for you to spare my life and the life of my uncle Mordi, who adopted me when I was a poor orphan child, and to spare the life of my people, the Jews. Someone is trying to kill us. And I was going to fall on my knees at this point, but I wouldn't be able to reach the mic. Esther. Esther. Esther points at the evil Haman. And she says, it is this evil Haman. Jew. And so it's my uncle Mordecai who saved your life. Haman, who hates the Jews and wants to kill us and all of our people. Well, the king was so mad, he ran out into the garden in a temper to cool off. Haman was so frightened, he tried to plead with Esther. And when the king came back in, Haman was trying to hold on to Esther to plead with her. And the king thinks that Haman is attacking the queen. Well, he is so mad, he orders Haman to be taken away and executed right there and then. The king let Mordecai and Esther write a new law that would protect the Jews from being exterminated on the day Haman planned. And Mordecai became the new prime minister. All the people who wanted to kill the Jews were defeated, and the Jews were saved by brave Queen Esther. Hooray! Queen Esther and Mordecai then created a new celebration called Purim, after the dice Haman threw to decide which date to destroy them. All Jews have a party on this day to celebrate that God, through brave Queen Esther, Yay! Saved them from doom and destruction at the hands of evil Haman. Esther instructed that during this celebration, people were to give each other gifts and look after the poor. What a lovely way to celebrate. And Esther and Mordecai and the Jews in Persia lived happily ever after. The end. And you can all give yourselves a round of applause. Now, you can keep that hat on for the moment. Now, I have two challenges for you from the story of Queen Esther. And as you saw on the video, Jews are encouraged to do two things during Purim. And one thing that they're encouraged to do, and this is straight from the book of Esther, not the numbers, but what they do, is they're encouraged to give help to at least two poor people. And that can be giving food, giving blanket, giving money, giving kind words. Two people. And I want to encourage you with that very same challenge this week. Give to two people less fortunate than yourself this week. And whether that is going online and responding to the devastation from the things that are happening in Ethiopia at the moment. I know we received some links from Mozambique, sorry. We received links about how we could give to the work in Mozambique. Thank you to Yvonne for that. So, you know, that's one thing you could do. You could give to somebody that's in trouble, or you could give in person. Blanket, food, money, kind words, whatever. Give to two people less fortunate than yourself this week. And the second challenge is to give a gift. It's traditional to give a ready-to-eat food gift to at least two friends. You can send a third party or go in person. To give a gift to two friends this week. So that's two challenges. Help two people less fortunate than yourself. Give a gift to two people, two friends this week. And I'm going to start by saying that the kids can keep, or the young people, or any of you, can keep any noisemakers as a gift this morning to take home with you. If you want to take any of the noisemakers home with you, you can. So So to conclude, although God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, God is constantly working behind the scenes to bring about his plan to protect his people. Trust God and look for his hand in everything you do this week. Look for hidden miracles in your life this week. Esther and Mordecai were definitely not perfect, but they are examples of trust, of bravery, and of hope. And the story of Esther shows that even when God seems to be absent, as he seemed to be to the people in exile, that God ultimately is still in charge of the world and in charge of our lives. And God is the central character in the book of Esther, even though he is never mentioned. The power of the story is in its subtlety. Those coincidences and role reversals, they're not coincidences. And I want to finish on a more serious note by saying this. Purim celebrates a time when two brave people rescued an entire nation from extermination by being brave enough to follow what God put on their hearts. And that reminds me that we also remember and celebrate an even greater fulfillment of that. The one who came from heaven to earth to rescue all human beings. And that is, of course, Jesus. And I want this morning to pray for more brave people like Esther and Mordecai. But also, I want to take this opportunity, as we've remembered Esther and Mordecai and God's hand in saving the Jews, to now also take communion together and remember God's hand in coming to earth as Jesus Christ to rescue each and every one of us from death, from our sins, and from the devil. So we're going to celebrate communion to finish this wonderful story of Queen Esther.